You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody, we are live, the first ever WaitingForNextYear.com podcast after a Cleveland Browns playoff victory. Maybe even the first Cleveland Browns playoff victory in the lifetime of my co-hosts. We are live on Facebook. We are live on YouTube. We are live on Twitter. We are part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And the Cleveland Browns have won a playoff game. I want everybody to remember what they had for dinner. I want you to remember who you sat with. I want to remember which clothes you are wearing. You have plenty of time. I sweat through my sweatshirt tonight. You have plenty of time to get it all cleaned up, all laundered, washed, dry, folded, and ready for next week. The Cleveland Browns have won a playoff game. For the first time since I've been able to drive, the Cleveland Browns have won a playoff game. No, they didn't beat Big Ben in his prime. No, they didn't. It's fine. But when they did, he cried. On the sidelines, he cried to end his career in all likelihood with the Steelers. The Cleveland Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game without their head coach, without 17 players, I don't even know, with a guy that Baker Mayfield didn't know playing left guard in the second half of the game. The Cleveland Browns did what they needed to do. They came out, they punched him in the mouth early. Yeah, it got a little ugly, got a little scary. We're a little bit scared, but they made it through. They made it through. They won the game. They exorcised the demons. The Cleveland Browns won a playoff game!
Wow. Okay. I'm speechless.
I knew it was coming,
but I cannot believe that just happened. I don't even know how to follow up with that.
Craig, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
Well, guys, that is Craig Lindell. He just unexpectedly, he said 30 seconds. That was a solid minute of beautiful. there's no words that describe what just happened, but it was absolutely beautifully amazing. Done. That was amazing. Yeah. So, wow. Josh and Joe, we are back with the Browns Instant Insights podcast edition. As Craig already said, we're live on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope. I hope, everywhere. Do you know what? For Juju's sake, just so he watches this, I hope we're live on TikTok.
live on TikTok.
But seriously, the Browns just beat the Steelers. That alone is satisfying, but I'll add to it. The Browns just beat the Steelers 48-37 in Pittsburgh to end the Steelers season and to advance in the playoffs. No matter, I think I'm awake right now, but that feels like a dream. Joe, how do you feel right now?
It's amazing, man. We've never experienced this, man. Like, this is.
Oh, by the way,
it's like a dream, man.
As like a, we've never felt this before. It's been 26 years, so I was about three or four years old. So I literally do not remember the last time the Browns won a playoff game.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. The way they just went out there and just kicked their ass, quite frankly. They took it to them and they never let them back in the game. It got a little bit tight in the third and beginning of the fourth quarter, but Baker put it away and what can we say about Baker, man?
There's three words. No, okay, my bad. I can't even count. It's 12:15 on a Monday morning and we all have to work then tomorrow. But besides that, there's two words for Baker Mayfield's performance. Franchise quarterback.
Yep. That was unbelievable. Every time they needed a drive, he did it. We saw numerous drives in the second half where the team was it was getting a little dicey on defense. We knew coming in that this defense didn't have the guys available to really hold them down for a whole game. And Baker knew that and stepped up, and man, what a performance, man. He was lights out. He would have even had a bigger game if there weren't so many drops by the tight ends and the receivers in this game. It was remarkable, and it was clearly seen that we had the better quarterback, and that's great. That's great for the Browns.
I'll never like be happy about another man crying, but I'll make an exception for Michigan and Pittsburgh. Seeing Big Ben cry while sitting by himself on the bench was one of the most satisfying things I think I've ever seen as a Browns fan.
Yeah, it was the icing on the cake, man. And then Juju just sitting there after talking all that crap during the week. It was just amazing, man. This team backed up their talk. The Steelers didn't, and the Browns did.
The Browns not only backed up their talk, but you actually can't even say that, because the Browns are smart, where they didn't even talk. Because as a professional athlete, you should know that no matter what you do, you don't give your opposition anything. You don't give them any bulletin board material. And Juju
just wouldn't stop talking.
I'll be honest. You waited for next year, guys. No, I'm a fan of Juju. I'll admit it. I'm a fan of Juju. But after tonight and after this week, I think that I was a fan of Juju. He just needs, I feel like as a grown man, you should know to just be smart. Why would you ever say something to a reporter that you know is going to be all over Twitter, that you know is going to be made in a video? Why would you ever say, I'm not scared of the Browns? They're the same old Browns. Why would you ever say that to a grown? I'll admit it. Craig already swore. Why would you ever say that to another grown ass man? Right. Especially an NFL player. You know that's going to get him whipped up. Why? Why would you ever do that?
And we see it after the game. I don't know how many people I saw Jarvis tweet about it. I think Wills. It motivated him, man. I know people going into the game saying, "Oh, they don't need motivation for a playoff game." But hey, they use anything to motivate them, man. And that did. Yes. That pissed me off. And
there's one thing to make bulletin board material out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And there's another thing to make it out of something that he is literally intending to do. I know this is waiting for an extra thing too. If he was just dancing just to celebrate a win, that's not technically bulletin board material. You can get mad at that. You can use it as motivation per se, but it's not really bulletin board material. But when he started talking crap about the Browns, I just don't get it. Like, someone has to talk to Juju and just be like, dude, why?
Yeah. It's so weird.
Enough about the freaking Steelers. We need to talk about the Browns. I can pull an all-nighter just talking about the Browns. No joke.
It's amazing.
The offense, without Kevin Stefanski, their head coach, their leader, their play caller, without Joel Bitonio, their leader, their pro bowler, there were like two other offensive linemen that got hurt. I know Craig alluded to this during his unbelievable, amazingly awesome intro, that I don't know if I technically believe this. Baker said after the game that he introduced himself to an offensive lineman that played tonight prior to the game. Let's be honest. Yeah. They probably got introduced to each other prior to tonight. But even so, there was an offensive lineman that was on the practice squad that just contributed in the first Browns playoff win in 26 years. And keep in mind, the Browns were without the offensive line coach, Bill Callahan, who's the best offensive line coach in the NFL. They were without their assistant offensive line coach, and they had an assistant to the staff coaching the offensive line with all these injuries, and they still
dominated the
offense to do this.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable performance by the offensive line. Michael Dunn stepped up. He had a really freaking good game. He's never had an NFL experience.
I'll continue to say this. I think I said this yesterday too. Michael Dunn, you could have totally made up that name, and I'd be he played really well.
Right. And then Blake Hance, the guy was signed 2 weeks ago.
Hey guys, that's another created player in Madden. That's another created player. Whatever name that just was, Blake something. That's another created player. Continue.
Right, and we lost Conklin at maybe like midway through the second. I think it was. So they had Kendall Lamb at right tackle. It was just amazing. They never lost a step. TJ Watt didn't have a game, didn't really make a act.
Hey, so much for that defensive player of the year doing literally nothing in the team's biggest game of the year. All right, continue, Joe. Right. You again.
Right. It was amazing. Like going in, we talked about it on yesterday, that the interior was going to be a problem, and it wasn't. They kept Cam Hayward down. They kept Tuitt down. They were able to do anything they want on offense, pretty much. They were able to run the ball, especially early on, and then late in the game, just making the big passes that weren't getting to the quarterback. It was just an amazing performance. Kudos to those guys just getting ready. Next man up. We say it all the time, next man up, and they showed it today.
Hold on, I'll interrupt you. By next man up, he needs next man up.
Right. We're four deep on guard now because we had the starter out, and then we had the backup out, and then we had the backup's backup out, and we had to go in with the practice squad player. It was just amazing performance, and it showed that the coaches were ready for it. So their game plan to get the ball out of Baker's hand was just awesome. It never was a problem. The pass rush was never a problem. We saw in the first matchup where the Browns really struggled with that, and today it was just they were ready for it. It was amazing to see. Even without our head coach, we outcoached the other side again.
And like the Browns beating the Steelers is one thing. The Browns outcoaching the Steelers. An organization and franchise that I think has had three head coaches since like freaking the 1800s, it seems like. It's like seriously, I'm not joking, by the way, when I say that. It's incredible. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Some people will say that Kevin Stefanski, like the Browns did well without Kevin Stefanski, which proves that the assistant coaches are good. But I feel like tonight proved just how good Kevin Stefanski is, even though he watched the game in his basement on his TV, just like we did.
Right. Yeah. He got him ready. Even though he wasn't there, he got him ready. The culture, we talk about culture. The Browns have not had a culture in I don't know how many years, but
there's not been any culture in the Cleveland Browns.
It's been a losing culture.
It's basically, like a turnover losing culture, but yeah.
Yeah, and it showed that culture matters, man. We had so many guys out the past three weeks, and they didn't make any excuses. We talked about it yesterday. They didn't talk at all this week. They just said, hey, we're ready. We're getting ready for whoever will be on the roster ready to go next on Sunday, and they showed it. They didn't take any excuses, and they just stepped up. Whoever was on the field was going to step up, and it's amazing to see.
Yeah, it's almost like the Browns, prior to tonight's game, it's almost like the Browns were the team that's been winning this whole time, and the Steelers were the team that's been, like, mediocre and losing, because the Browns acted like they've been here before, and the Steelers, I mean, specifically Juju Smith-Schuster, acted like he hasn't been here before.
Right. Yeah. How many mistakes did the Steelers make in just the first quarter? Like footwork.
I still okay, that's a perfect segue into this. That first quarter was probably do you know what? It will go down as the best quarter in my lifetime as a Browns fan.
It was. Like, I don't know how he beat that. Like, it's 28-0 at the first quarter. Like
Pouncey. Like, I, like, just sat down, and I was like, holy shit.
I know. I was like,
Browns take a 7-0 lead. If you would have, I know someone tweeted this too. If you would have told me that the Steelers would have five offensive possessions in the first quarter, I would have said, well, I'm probably going to bed early tonight because the Browns are getting dominated.
Right. Yeah, it was amazing. We talked about it yesterday, starting out quickly, and they freaking started out quickly, man. They were the defense. Kudos to the defense. I know they kind of returned to earth in the second half, but that first half, man, kudos to them, man. They were just flying to the ball, attacking, pressuring the quarterback, and then just making plays in the secondary, which we have not seen. We have not seen this year, for the most part. It was awesome to see them just really playing aggressive, as we were talking about, playing aggressive, getting after them, and forcing them to make plays. And Big Ben showed that he was not ready for it.
All right, let's be honest, though. Big Ben, we're acting like he had a horrible game. He had 501 passing yards and 4 touchdowns. I mean, I feel
he
like
did have a bad game.
That's true.
If you really talk about it, he really is.
It's amazing to say that a quarterback that just passed for 501 yards and 4 touchdowns had a bad game, but he did. And he had a terrible that's game. Because he had 4 interceptions against the Browns defense that is bad. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They're really, really bad. If you allow them to get 4 interceptions plus a fumble recovery for a touchdown, you're not going to win the game. It's as easy as that. Especially when you have an offense, a Browns offense, that has Baker, who rarely turns the ball over, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who just made you look like little girls tonight.
Right. It's a guy who threw 501 yards at a terrible, terrible game. He was shown to be old and ready to
Never get over that.
Right.
Like, it's still, I know the 4 interceptions are bad, but how often, when was the last time a quarterback passed for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns in a game, let alone a postseason game? And we're saying how bad he looked tonight. Right. And the most perfect thing is he was crying at the end of the game. It was like it was perfect. It was perfect. Yeah. If I were to frame a picture in my basement, if I'm a Browns fan, it might just be Big Ben crying on the sidelines.
Right. Seriously, all the pain we've gotten from Big Ben, that might be, like, if he retires this season, like, I'm just going to remember it from that now. Like, him crying on the sideline and throwing 4 picks against this terrible defense that we have. It's just awesome to see. Couldn't happen to a worse guy. I just love that the defense is ready to go. They did what we were talking about yesterday. I know we keep harping on it, but they forced them to win the game passing it. The run game was non-existent, and Big Ben just showed up and was not ready.
Although Big Ben had a horrible game, and even as a Browns fan, because I'm a Cleveland fan and I'm used to it, them being up 28-0, I was still like, shit, how are they going to lose this game?
I know. We were all like that. Like, it's just in our DNA. They could be really like 5 touchdowns. So.
True. I saw someone tweet this during the game, too. It was, what would be the most comfortable lead to have for the Browns for you to, like, be like, all right, they won? I don't think there's a real number.
I don't think there is.
Like maybe infinity to zero?
That, I don't know. The only time I got really comfortable is when they got the fourth interception and then got the field goal. It's like, okay.
Taki's name is so awesome to say. And it's even better to say when you say Taki had the game-clinching interception to beat the Steelers in the playoffs.
Amazing. And we're on to Kansas City, man. This is – I can't believe this is – 2021 is
– I was team – yeah, a couple weeks ago, I was team anyone but Kansas City. I'd like to say that and say that I was only talking about the first round. Whatever happens from here on out, I am ecstatic. Even tonight,
if
would have lost, given the players that were out, given the coaches that were out, if the Browns would have lost, I would have been like, that was one hell of a season. But now – whatever happens, happens. Everything from here on out is just icing on the cake. Right. The Browns, you could not have asked for a better season from the Cleveland Browns.
He couldn't. Like, today was just – I wouldn't have been – like, if they got blown out, I wouldn't have been surprised. Like, this team has so many injuries, so many things going against them. And it just showed that all the fight they have, man. They really show that they're a team with a really good culture and a good just a great – It's just a great locker room that was ready to fight and not give up and not give in to the excuses. It's such a breath of fresh air.
Everything you just said tells you why Kevin Stefanski is the guy. I mean, prior to tonight, even without him being in Pittsburgh, we already knew that Kevin Stefanski was the guy. But tonight verifies that. The fight, the culture, just like guys believing that they're going to go out there and win. When was the last time the Browns, you could literally say Browns players believe that they're going to go out there and win a playoff game, let alone against Pittsburgh, let alone in Pittsburgh? You couldn't say that. For years, it's been, well, the Browns are expected to lose. Why would anything else happen? That speaks so much to Stefanski. And I hope right now he is 15 beers deep because he deserves it. Seriously, he deserves it. He just had to watch a game, the biggest game since 1999, one of the biggest.
From his basement.
After leading the Browns to an 11-5 record and had to play in Pittsburgh, he just had to watch the game by himself in his basement because he has COVID-19. I mean, I'm not saying that he shouldn't have had to do that, because if he had COVID-19, I mean, that's a legit thing. We all know that. But I could only imagine the things that was going through his head.
Right.
I was suffering as a fan wishing I could be at that game, just in the stands, let alone Kevin Stefanski on the freaking sidelines.
I know. I would have loved just to have a live stream of that room. I just want to see what his reactions were, especially after that start. I couldn't imagine what he was feeling.
I'd like to put this picture in my head of he was doing the Corvette TikTok dance all night long.
I hope so, man. That was great.
If you ever think of the Corvette dance, I hope everyone listening thinks of Stefanski doing it now and not Juju. That's my goal tonight.
That's a good goal.
But seriously, I mean, the game plan. Obviously, Van Pelt deserves plenty of credit.
Oh, yeah.
But you couldn't have drawn up a better game plan offensively than what they did tonight.
Right. Yeah, it was a complete team effort on offense. The run game was great. The pass game was great. Hey, what did we talk about? Getting the screens. And we saw Nick Chubb take it all away. We talked about how Nick Chubb was probably going to get.
Hold on. I'm going to interrupt you. It's amazing what happens when they throw a screen pass. All right, go on.
And it's amazing how you, if you use Nick Chubb, things out well for you. Because they showed that they were heavy. They're going to heavily use Nick Chubb, and he was great once again. It was just and shout out to one other guy. It was probably one of the biggest players in the game was Jarvis Landry. He made the biggest catches in the game, multiple in the second half, where just a big third down conversions, and then obviously that first touchdown or the second touchdown. It was a great game by him. It just showed he's one of those culture guys. I feel like how well he plays, the team plays too. He was on a game.
Yes, today. Yes, absolutely. I mean, we can literally go on and on about. This is just such an unreal feeling that I've really never felt before. I guess maybe 3-year-old or 4-year-old Josh felt that. But almost 30-year-old Josh doesn't remember that feeling, and it's awesome. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
I know we have plans for next weekend, man. Like how crazy is that?
Yeah, Sunday at 3:05, Kansas City.
versus the defending champs. Bring it on, man. I don't.
Oh, speaking of 305, thank goodness, because I'm gonna my alarm is 5:40 in the morning, and it is 12:35, and there's no chance I'm going to bed anytime soon. And I'd say, like, oh, I can go take a nap after work tomorrow. Oh no, just Ohio State national championship game. No big deal. Another late night.
It's gonna be a late, yeah. It's gonna be fun nights, man.
I'll knock on wood right now. If Ohio State wins tomorrow night, this might go down. Besides the Cavs, June 19th, 2016, it will go down as the best 27-hour stretch in Cleveland sports history.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, for now, until the Browns win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah,
but for now, it will go down as the best 27-hour stretch in Cleveland sports history.
Yes, besides 2016. Yes, I would agree with that. It was just, it's just a feeling that we've never had before, man. It's so fun, man. We're watching playoff football in Cleveland. It's just. I can't stop smiling, man.
Seriously, I can't either. I am so hyped up. It's just like my adrenaline just going. I can only imagine how hyped up those players are, especially for a guy like Jarvis who came here. He knew what he was doing. I mean, the Waiting for Next Year Twitter account tweeted out that video that was on Hard Knocks. He knew what he was getting into when he came here, and he wanted to change the culture. He wanted to be the leader. He wanted to be the guy that led the Browns to tonight. Let's be honest. He wanted to be the guy that led the Browns to a playoff win. I know that you can say, well, they have bigger goals, blah, 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 blah. It's the Browns. A playoff win? Imagine if things were normal in life. Imagine what would be going on in downtown Cleveland right now.
Just crazy. It would be... That's one of the downsides, man. I can't imagine what the city would be right now. I remember 2016, so.
Yeah. And I know everyone's like, oh, it's just one playoff win. But we're talking about a team that was 0-16 3 years ago,
yeah.
Three. Not one, not two, three. Only 3 years ago, they were 0-16.
1-31.
Yeah, you realize how tough it is to go 0-16? The Jets, Adam Gase doing this. The Jets couldn't even go 0-16. And they were horrible. They were led by Joe Flacco this year. It is hard to go 0-16. The Browns were 0-16 3 years ago, and they are one of eight teams remaining in the NFL playoffs today. Like, I don't even know what to say. I'm at a loss for words. I keep talking.
It is. It's like you're thinking. It's like a dream, man. It's amazing. I just can't get over that performance today. They really stepped up, man, and just had one of the best games they've ever had. They took it to them, and it was. I'm a loss for words too, man. It's just amazing. Amazing.
I like how we're saying that we're at a loss for words, but I can guarantee you we've been talking for 27 minutes. Now I can guarantee you we're going to be talking for like another 20, but we keep saying that we're at a loss for words. Got a lot of podcasting, but seriously, I am truly, I don't even know what to say anymore. Tonight, I can only imagine how it feels to win a freaking Super Bowl if this is how I feel after winning one playoff game.
I know. I can't. Seriously. I know. It's crazy. It is crazy. I know. I can't even imagine. I can't even go there right now.
Okay, we'll get back to the game, though. Back to the game. Yeah. Baker Mayfield, 21 of 34, 263, three touchdowns, no interceptions, like usual.
Yep. Yeah.
That's even weird to say. If you would have told me, it's amazing. Freddie Kitchens, I love you. But it is amazing how much you ruined Baker Mayfield last year.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just a complete turnaround from last year. He's now one of the best at not throwing interceptions in the league. I think he has the longest streak going, actually, I think.
No, I think he did, but then he threw an interception recently, either last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. But, yeah, it's amazing. He's got, one pick in quite a while. His stats would have even been better if they made the catches today. It was just, he was picking them apart late in the game. He had full command of the offense, and it was just awesome to see. I can't get over that we have a franchise quarterback. He showed today that this kid's gonna be here for a while.
Yeah, I know Emily Mayfield, Baker's wife, put something on Instagram. This moment, it was something prior to the game, like, this moment is what you dream of, six, pertaining to Baker, and it is. And he just made, I mean, let's be honest, he just made himself millions of guaranteed dollars tonight.
He did, yeah. It was, he outperformed a Hall of Fame quarterback by a mile, quite frankly. It was stark how the difference between the quarterbacks were. Baker was clean throughout the game. There's not many passes that were inaccurate or off target. The most of the incompletions were pretty much on the receiver and the tight end. So it's just, yeah. And he made a big time run too. So he was using his full repertoire, against them. It was great to see this. He's really seeing the field really well, really running this offense the way that Stefanski wanted him to run it, and it's just moving so well. And I'm excited to see him go against the best quarterback in the league. So next week, and it's going to be a fun shootout.
If you thought any game was going to be a shootout, I think next week it could honestly be first in 48. I know the Browns just scored 48 points tonight, 48-37. But if the Browns, I'd say there's like a 99.9% chance that if they want to beat Kansas City next week, they have to put up at least 48.
Yeah, I know. It's like, seriously, it's
no, I'm not joking.
I know it's gonna be a tough one, man. But I'm excited. It's two of the best young quarterbacks in the league, and you have one of them. Like, how crazy is that? Is Cleveland's got a quarterback that's going to be one of the top ones in the league, and he's got another big test next week. But I'm not betting against them, man. These guys are playing together. They're playing as a team, and when you do that, special things can happen.
And do you know what's even better? Is all these guys that have COVID are going to be back next week. You're going to have Denzel Ward back. You're going to have Kevin Stefanski back. You're going to have your five assistant coaches. It seemed like they're without all their assistant coaches tonight. You're going to have all those assistant coaches back. You're going to have Hodge back. I'm just like going through the list. You're going to have Petonio back. You're going to have Kevin Johnson back. The Browns, there's a very good chance that the Browns, for the first time in a very long time, will be at full strength.
Right, this is like they're gonna be the healthiest defense. Way, I just
knocked on wood. If I just jinxed any of that, I'm sorry. I just knocked on wood.
Yeah, we have not seen the defense healthy. I don't think all year. I think there's been at least one guy out. So if they can get everybody back, it's gonna be awesome. A full, especially against Kansas City, we need all the cornerbacks we can have. Yeah. So
against Kansas City, you can allow Mahomes. I mean, let's be honest. Mahomes is going to get what he gets. I mean, he's Patrick Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in the league by a mile. I apologize. Maybe not by a mile. Aaron Rodgers is pretty damn good. And you know what? Baker Mayfield is pretty damn good, but he's not on the level of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Patrick Mahomes is going to get what he gets, but you need to force turnovers, just like you did tonight. If you can force two or three turnovers, that's game-changing. Allow Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I guess I don't want to say allow him to beat you, but he's going to be able to get what he wants, especially against this defensive backfield. You just have to force turnovers. And it can't even be like a bend but don't break, because the Browns are going to bend so much that they probably will break. But just, you have to get some lucky turnovers, even if it's like tonight, even if it's a bad snap that you – recover in the end zone for a touchdown, even if it's Taki going in pass coverage and somehow Big Ben not even seeing him, even though he was literally standing there the entire time making an interception. You need to create turnovers next week if you want to win.
Yeah, it's going to be It's going to be sort of similar to what the game plan was going into this week. Obviously, the quarterbacks are a stark difference, but you can't let their run game beat you. It's got to be you got to make Patrick Mahomes beat you, which obviously he can by himself. But you can't let the run game help out Patrick Mahomes at all. And then you got to stay clean. The turnover battle will be huge next week. Especially, you can, against Kansas City, if you turn the ball over, they're gonna kill you. They can score quickly, and deficits are nothing to them if they're down. What
they really are. Tonight's 28-0 lead was like, the Browns still haven't won yet. I think to be comfortable,
it would have been tied at halftime.
Yeah, I think against the Kansas City Chiefs, you'd have to be up like 100-0 to be comfortable.
Right. They did it against like great teams last year and made it look easy. So, yeah, it's no lead is going to be safe next week. But yeah, I think this is going to be a big shootout, and they're just going to have to outscore them. And
for you betting, no matter what the over under is, bet the
over.
If it's 99, bet the over.
Yeah, they almost got the over, I think, at halftime today.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't talk about betting too much on this podcast, but I think the percentage of money was a lot on the under because they didn't think. I mean, let's be honest. No one saw the Browns scoring 28 points in the first quarter, and they didn't see the Browns offense doing that well because the offensive line was in shambles and they were without their play caller. Yeah, I think the Vegas made a lot of money tonight on the Browns winning outright and on the game going over. So kudos to Vegas. I mean, they're already making billions. So kudos to them for making even more money.
Right. Yeah. It was pretty much decided by the end of the half, first half.
Say that now, Joe. We were not saying that.
I mean the over under. Obviously not the game. the game wasn't over until the fourth quarter.
True. The game wasn't over. Yeah.
It's gonna be fun, man.
It is. And if we thought that Browns were playing with house money this week, given that they were 11-5, they already over exceeded expectations. They were without offensive linemen. They were without their head coach. They were without their play caller, wide receiver, both cornerbacks. Yeah. Keep in mind, they were not only without both cornerbacks tonight, but given the fact that Greedy Williams and Grant Delpit haven't played this year, they were literally without their four best defensive backs tonight. Just keep that in mind. I'm not making excuses. Bad the past defenses, but they were without their four best defensive backs tonight.
And Ronnie Harrison really didn't play a lot today. So I think he was kind of not fully healthy. So, yeah, this team, it's amazing how much injuries they fought through and still are keep going forward and winning. It's amazing to see how much they've overcome. But, yeah, this week we saw a lot of people not think we had a chance this week, this past week. There's going to be absolutely no one.
Shout out to Sam Ponder. She was the only one on the NFL pregame that picked the Browns. Go on, Joe.
And shout out to Kendrick Perkins, former Cavs, great Cavs.
Cavs lifer. Cavs lifer.
And Shaq. Don't forget Shaq, man. Shaq was a lifer, too.
If we can go – talk about going on for hours and hours. We can go on and on about hours and hours about Cavs lifers.
Sean Marion. Can't wait.
Oh, my gosh. Sean Marion, that is out of the freaking left field. Andrew Bogut.
Oh, that one game was just epic.
Man, we went down. How did we go on this tangent? But, going back to the Browns.
It's going to be – yeah, it's going to be a game where no one thinks you're going to win.
No.
Zero. Like, you're not even going to get Sam Ponder. No one's going to be on your side. And I think this team thrives in that. They showed today they thrive in that underdog position. Baker's done that his whole career. So it's going to be fun to see this team fight next week.
Yeah, them playing with house money. Baker Mayfield being an underdog, he's proven that, just like you said, he's proven all his career, whether it's as an underdog, as a starter, whether if it's as a backup, whether if he's being doubted, he succeeds. I know that's easy to say sometimes, because yeah. if you have doubters, you're going to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
But with Baker Mayfield, he's been doubted his whole life. And now, I know even pre-draft he said – he was asked a question about being drafted by the Cleveland Browns potentially, and he said, I'm the guy for the job. I'm the guy that can turn this team around. I'm the guy that can turn the Browns into a winning football team. And I'm the guy that – I mean, he just said that he was the guy. And it is January 11th, 2021. Wow, this is 2021. It is January 11th, 2021. And I can officially say that Baker Mayfield is that guy.
Right. Yeah. We're in the second week of the playoffs and we're still alive, man. It's showed that he was right. Man. Yeah. It's
just, oh my gosh. I am hyper. I don't even know what to say. We're going on 1 a.m. But yeah, I hope someone on the Browns, I know they went on Instagram Live after the game, and Jarvis Landry had a kind word for Juju that is not appropriate to say on this podcast, but he had a kind word for him, so I'm sure it's on Twitter somewhere. Yeah, I mean, Juju made the bed, and now he has to lay in it. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah. And I saw this stat actually, looking it up right now. This is we talked about the Browns' offensive line just stepping up. This is the first game the Steelers haven't had a sack since January of 2018. Like, that's crazy. Like,
we had two backup quarterbacks. The line that literally was playing a guy that hasn't practiced with the Browns.
And then another guy that had to come in, and they didn't even know his name. Like, I really think, like, some of them had to, like,
some of them, they made up his name. Guaranteed.
I guarantee some of the receivers, like, because they don't probably talk as much, like, I guarantee they don't know who I was. But, man, he just stepped in.
Yeah, I know we talked about this prior to this at the beginning of this podcast, but the Browns were without their head coach, who is also their play caller. Without their offensive line coach, who's the best offensive line coach in the NFL, without their assistant offensive line coach, their assistant offensive staff coach or something was filling in on the offensive line. They were without their leader and Pro Bowler on the offensive line, and they were literally going like five deep, and the offensive line still dominated against a team that had Cam Hayward. I know they don't have Bud Dupree and Devin Bush, who are two huge losses to the Steelers. But they allowed Baker to do what Baker does best, which is to have a clean pocket. And not only that, but they created holes for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt out-physicaled the Pittsburgh's defense. When was the last time we could ever say that a Cleveland player was more physical than the Pittsburgh player, especially in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I talked about it in the game, but like the Browns were the more physical team. They were dominating the trenches on both sides of the ball, quite frankly. And I can't believe that Cam Hayward was non-factor. Like, he was literally a non-factor. The only time I saw him was when they showed him on the sideline. Like, he did not. Let's be honest.
As an offensive lineman, if your name's not called, that means you're doing a great job. As a defensive lineman, if your name's not called, just like Cam Hayward's wasn't tonight, you're doing a horrible job. And right, I know he's a former Buckeye. I've been keeping track of his career. He's one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league. I mean, he is. And what the Browns' interior offensive line was able to do, especially without so many guys, I mean, it's next man. Like I said, it's next man up.
Yeah, it's simply amazing what they did. That it just shows you what coaching matters, man. They were ready. Like, that shows, like, coaching, you talk about, like, player development and all that. You don't see it, but today is an example of what coaching can do. They were ready to go in. He has never played before. this is his first year on the team. And then the other guy, Blake, was been here 2 weeks, and they were ready to go. They were ready to step in, perform their duty, and they did a hell of a job. And it's kudos to them. They, whenever this coronavirus ends and all this, those guys deserve a drink, man. On the city, man. They stepped up.
To say stepped up, I think would even be an understatement. They played out of their freaking minds.
They did. It's.
I mean, I know. Great. Next Gen Stats from ESPN tweeted out that Baker Mayfield wasn't pressured tonight. Our own Michael Bodie said that he was pressured once. I can't remember. But even if he was only pressured once when he dropped back, like we said, with what they had to deal with in the offensive line, plus not – like, I feel like an offensive line coach, especially when it comes to backups and adjustments, is, like, huge. Like, you need the offensive line coach to be there. And for them not to have their offensive line coach or assistant and to still go out there and do that, even with minimal practice, even with – I mean, obviously the offensive line knew Baker's name, but even if Baker didn't know theirs, I mean, there's, like, no other word – you can't say enough kind words about just – what the adversity they dealt with and to see how they came through with it.
Yeah, it's, and I'm seeing right now, the line is already 10 for next week.
Perfect. They're underdogs. Already on the TV in the locker room.
I know, right? It's just Browns
plus 10. Just have it in big letters, Browns plus 10.
Yeah, it plays right into what they've been preaching all year, just fighting, not caring what the outside world says, and just playing the underdog role is what they do, man. And they've been unbelievable. I literally can't wait for next week.
And like we said, they're literally this week they were doing it too, given the situation, given the fact that they were already 11-5. Next week, they're literally playing with house money. They can go out there, they have zero pressure, they can get blown out. Or let's be honest, people are going to expect them to get blown out.
Yeah, yeah. It's they have no pressure. We talked about it this week. They had no pressure. They have absolutely zero pressure. Like, who the heck is going to pick the Browns to beat the defending champions against the best quarterback in the league? Like, I'll no be honest,
as a Browns fan, I think I would even call you pretty stupid if you were to pick the Browns. If you like in an official pool. Where like you had to pick every game.
Like you had money on the game, yeah.
I think I would call you pretty stupid to pick the Browns to beat the game. I mean, if you pick them to beat the spread, all right, that's one thing. If you pick them to win straight up, like I don't see anyone picking them. I'll be honest. I literally do not see anyone picking the Browns.
And that's what they – and that's fine with them, man. That's why I love this team, man. They're just going to – they don't care what anybody says. And that's why it gives me a thought. Like, I know it's way back in my mind, but anything can happen, man. This team can make anything happen. And that's why it's going to be fun next week.
Oh my gosh. If they, I
don't know. That's not what you're
thinking. Next week, and the game will probably be over about like, well, freaking today. If it's like tonight, the game will be over at like 9 p.m. for a 3:05 game. I think we'll be able to podcast for easily an hour and a half.
Yeah. The only thing negative going against the Browns right now is that we have the Tony Romo Tony Romo booth, and we've not had a good showing with that booth, but let's hope we can flip that around.
Yeah, we're going to go on a tangent again. I wish next week's game was on Nickelodeon.
That was awesome, man.
I didn't really listen to the game. I had it on mute. But those slime cannons when there's a touchdown were awesome. And with the game next week where there's going to be a lot of touchdowns, I want those slime cannons.
I do too. That was they need to do all games on Nickelodeon.
I don't care if it's not on Nickelodeon. Buy the rights to those freaking slime cannon graphic designs and put them like those. It has to be so easy. And then SpongeBob, I mean, this is a huge tangent right now. SpongeBob being the field goal guy.
That was awesome, man. The graphics.
All we need is Tommy and Chucky to, like, be running on the field after a first down. Seriously, you can go now that Nickelodeon did that as the first game and they know that people loved it.
Oh, they're never gonna go back.
Effects to that.
Like the first goal, the first down line was awesome. It was like a moving slime thing.
Yeah, that was. I need Nickelodeon graphics on every single
kind of project. I know. It just looked better. Like some of them, like on CBS and Fox, are just like boring, and you get that cool thing. Like freshen it up. I want to see that. That would be quite awesome.
I need those slime cannons in my life more often.
We are on CBS next week, so maybe there is a duel.
Makes me like that. I legit thought that. With you saying that, I legit thought.
I know.
Okay, next year. That's not a tangent. That was like tangent 100 of this podcast tonight. But I know yesterday I said that if the Browns want to win, they have to win the time of possession, and I couldn't be more wrong because. I said like 38-22, which is, I don't know why I even said that. That is like a huge difference. The Browns had the ball for 27 minutes compared to the Steelers, 33 minutes. I think in the first quarter, it was like 20-10. And in the first half, Pittsburgh outgained Cleveland 224-214. And the Browns, we're up 35-10.
Yeah.
I mean, if you would have told me the stats tonight, okay, I guess if you said the stats, you have to include the turnovers. Stats minus the turnovers, I would have said the Steelers won by 35.
Right. Yeah. That first quarter is just one for the books, man. We've never seen it as Browns fans. I don't know if we'll ever see it again. just it was a complete domination, and they didn't have the ball that much because they were getting the ball at like half midfield or even in, and scoring on like three or four plays, and it was they were just simply dominating. It was easy for them. They're making everything easy. And I think that's – if you look at the rest of the game, I think it was more even. But that first quarter just – I don't think the Browns held it. I don't know what it was, but it was not – they did not hold it for very long. But they didn't need to because they just took care of business.
Yeah, I mean, let's just – I'll tell you the stats right now. Total yards, 390-553. Total plays, 65-84. It was 13 to 14 drives. That is a lot. The Steelers averaged 6.6 yards a play compared to the Browns' 6 yards per play. I mean, 5 turnovers. Yeah. They won the turnovers 5-0. That's the game. That's the game right there.
That's the game. Yeah. If turnovers can just kill you, it just can. You can have a perfect game, but if you have 2 or 3 or more turnovers, that can be your death nail, and it was for Pittsburgh. They turned it over way too much.
Speaking of turnovers, can we just go back and watch Big Ben not fall on the ball the first play of the game when he could have saved at least? I mean, even if it's a safety, it's 2-0 compared to 7-0. But he literally ran by the ball, and then James Conner like tried to slide. I don't even know what he was doing. And then tried sliding in it, and then the Browns player got it, and then Big Ben was like, oh, man, maybe I should actually go for this ball because we're going to lose it. Like, if Big Ben – I can't talk. If we now know that Big Ben is broken, he just threw for 501 yards, but he's broken. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But I think after that first play of the game, you could have said Big Ben is broken. When he didn't want to fall on the ball in the freaking playoff game.
Yeah, you could tell he was not gonna take the risk of getting hit. Diving on it, getting contacted. That was definitely a sign of things to come from him. He was not the same. He's not been the same this season. And I don't know if this is it, but that'll be a hell of a way to go out, man. Browns kicked your ass in the last game.
So how did your season end? I hope his Hall of Fame speech, because let's be honest, Big Ben's would be a Hall of Famer. I hope his Hall of Fame speech has to do with losing to the Browns in the playoffs to end his career, because I feel like not many people would think that that's true. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they'd be like, oh, no, there's no way you lost to the freaking Browns to end your career in the playoffs. Come on, Big Ben. But
yeah,
I need also – I'm going to pronounce GIF because I say it's a hard G. It's not GIF. If GIF. Craig Wendell, if you're still listening, it is not GIF. It's not peanut butter. It's a GIF. I hope there is a GIF of Big Ben crying on the sidelines because I need that saved on my phone ASAP.
I hope it's like a Jordan cry face.
Either Jordan crying or like if it's a video, it will be like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Seriously, if you're listening right now, please make that for me. If not, I'll do it once I get off this podcast. But I need that, and I need that song overlaid with Big Ben crying in his hands, sitting by himself on the Steelers sidelines.
It was one of the best sights I've ever seen, man. That was everything in that post game was just amazing.
Yeah, it feels so unhuman, especially during these tough COVID times, to say that's one of the best sights I've ever seen as a Browns fan. But it's the freaking Steelers. It is one of the best sights I've ever seen as a Browns fan.
It really was. Like, we've never seen that before. We've never made them cry. Like seriously, that was – I'll never forget it, man. I'll never forget that.
I need that framed. I wish there was a way – do you know what? I'm going to get off on another tangent because it's 1:06 a.m. I wish there was a way to frame GIFs, because if there was, I would absolutely get Big Ben crying. Cool. His hands on the sidelines in a frame picture and hang it all over my house.
It would look right, really well, right behind that white, right behind you on that white wall there.
And there's a Ohio State picture right here.
Oh yeah,
perfect, right next to there.
I think that would go for it.
Oh man, that's my $1 million idea. I just trademarked it and copyrighted it, so no one else can steal it. That's listening, even though no one really listened to our podcast, but. Make GIFs become real life and frame them.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. And that would be the first. No, do you know what? I have to admit, as an Ohio State fan, my first one would be Trey Sermon last week.
That's a great one.
That would be my first one. But the second one would be Big Ben crying in his hands.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hit a brick wall soon, just like these bricks that are behind us on this podcast. But I'm on such a high right now.
Yeah.
I still can't, like, it's one of those things that people, like, sometimes you're like, man, that was incredible, that was unbelievable. Tonight was literally unbelievable. You cannot believe, even if you use your imagination in a dream to say what would happen tonight, I don't think you would have dreamed of this.
Right. Yeah. It's, as the great LeBron says, this is unbelievable, man. This is unbelievable. I can't get over that. We're going into next week, man. It's amazing. Just the expectation, if you look back all the way to preseason week one, it's amazing how far we've gone this season, the ups and downs and fighting through everything COVID's given us, and it's just been a bright light in a lot of dark times, but it's amazing. Yeah.
And I've been meaning to do this. There's been a lot of people commenting tonight. Ed Hodler, I'm sure you're not here anymore. Adam Farron, Brandon Natale, Herbert Taylor. I think this is by far the most comments we've ever had on one of our podcasts. But Joe Jacobs just checked in and said, most unlikely sportsman of our lives. Joe, I would like to say that, but I think we're caught up in the moment.
Don't forget June 19th, 2016,
yeah. I think, is the most unlikely sports moment or sports win of our lives.
We'll go with second.
I know. It's the Browns. The Browns, it, like, in tiered. If we were to tier Cleveland sports, it'd be like tier 1 Browns, tier 20 Cavs, tier 1,000 Indians. Is that fair? Is that a fair assumption? But let's be honest. June 19th, 2016 is the most unlucky sportsman of our lives.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. I guess even that series, all that, we won't even discuss that though. Tonight.
Yeah.
I don't even, I know I said this in the preview yesterday. I said, I'm expecting them to lose, but I'm hoping they win. Like, my heart still believe that they could win, but given the COVID issues, I just didn't think they would. I was like, it would be hard enough if they were at full strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
did not see this coming tonight. I did not see it coming.
I thought they could win. I had no even thought of them just completely dominating. Like they simply were dominating Pittsburgh. There was never. I know it was close in Cleveland. Cleveland Browns fans' hearts and minds. It was not close.
And it never was close. 100-point win is close in Browns sports fans' lives.
Come like on. In NFL terms, it was never close. The Browns were things
where the score was a lot closer. Like if you were to watch the game, you would have said that was much bigger than an 11-point win for the Browns. But if you were just to look at the stats, you would have been like, holy cow, the Steelers only lost by 11. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where you had to watch. It's like you had to be there moment. You had to watch the game to see how the Browns dominated.
And can you
look back at the highlights and the stats, you would have said, well, the Steelers lost and they lost by 11? No way.
And shout out to the Browns for another garbage touchdown allowed. Really, really going in on the point differential.
They're back to a negative point differential again. They were at positive at halftime.
Yeah. I would love an update, so but yeah, I know another
when they still lose. No, seriously. No.
It's truly an art form what they did.
The Browns are a garbage. The Browns are 12-5, one of 8 teams remaining in the playoffs, and somehow, some way, have a negative point differential. That is, I feel like we've talked about this before too, but I think that takes more skill.
That's what I
like. That's like Kevin Stefanski deserves the Coach of the Year just for that alone.
Right. That's what I tweeted out earlier. It's an art form of how well they gave up garbage touchdowns this season. It's just amazing. There would be so many games that this year where it was pretty much it was not in doubt anymore. And then they would just give up a garbage touchdown. It was amazing. It just adds to what this team has done this year. It's amazing.
It really is amazing. I mean, there's no other way to put it. To be 12-5 in the second round of the playoffs and still have a negative point differential is truly unbelievably amazing. Almost as amazing as Craig's intro to this, which will never, ever, ever be topped.
Never. That was
amazingly beautiful. Like, I don't know if you can use those two words together, but I'm going to use them. That was amazingly beautiful.
Yeah.
I hope if WFMY ever creates like a hype trailer, just like the Browns did, because theirs were fantastic, and Ohio State football, theirs are unbelievable. If Mm-hmm. ever does one, it will start off with that. The best is that he like did a mic drop and he like didn't even say, all right, bye. He just left. Literally just left the screen. Mm-hmm. Boom, gone.
That's Craig for you, man.
Yeah, so for those listening to the podcast, I guess it does enough just listening to it. But
go back an hour you'll find
Craig's
it.
Emotions. You had to see Craig's emotions and watch him. And just go on Waiting for Next Year Facebook or go on our Twitter page or go on YouTube and just watch the first minute of our podcast and the other hour and 3 minutes as well. And just watch that intro because you'll absolutely love it.
It's the best entrance of the year so far. Let's hope it wasn't a jinx, right?
Yeah. If it was a jinx, Craig, if you're listening still, or if you listen to this podcast at a later time, you're never allowed on Browns Instant Insights WFMY podcast edition again.
And we will not take any of the blame for the loss.
True. Yeah. By the way, I forgot to say this at the beginning.
1-0
in the playoffs, and 12-5 lifetime record. Boom. It wasn't Kevin Stefanski. It was Josh and Joe all along.
That's it. That's what we do here. We just keep winning.
All we do is win, no matter what. But yeah, I'm truly at a loss. We're over an hour into this podcast, and I can still say that I'm truly at a loss for words for what happened in Pittsburgh tonight.
Yeah, it's just awesome. Enjoy it, guys. This is going to be another fun week, man. We're going to be the talk of the week.
By the way, shout out to Colin Coward for not only being a freaking troll, but somehow saying that because Baker was wearing his hat backwards during an interview, that the Browns are going to lose. That is literally the weirdest, most obsessed man I've ever seen to another sports player. Like, Baker could be like, Baker could show his nails and him be like, oh, he doesn't have enough white on some of those nails. The Browns are losing this week. It is such a weird, I mean, I feel like we would talk about this for hours.
Man, we're not talking about the haters right now.
Yeah, no. I have to. I'm Josh. I'm known for that, aren't I? At Waiting for Next Year. Yeah,
sure.
But it's such a weird obsession that some of these national guys have with Browns, specifically Baker Mayfield, that they will just find a way to hate on him. And I know the Browns are one of eight teams left. They just beat Pittsburgh. They just made Big Ben cry in what could be his final game of his career. And there is still going to be guys that hate on Cleveland and the Browns this week and say that they were lucky, to say that the Browns were just gave up 500 yards to Ben Roethlisberger and somehow still won. But as a Cleveland sports fan, enjoy that. And I'm going to say again, enjoy that shit, because it is awesome.
It is. Yeah, let them. That's all I say. Let them. I don't – who cares? We're in the playoffs.
When you see national guys hating on the Browns,
that means they're
like
good.
Howard, or if Bill Simmons somehow doesn't put the Browns on like most watchable games, this just enjoy it. I know, and you know what? I'll act like I'm Josh Dolan here. Instead of enjoy him, I'm sorry, Indians.
Josh Dolan.
Josh Dolan. Oh my gosh, I would hate myself if I was.
You need to go to bed, man.
But seriously, enjoy this. Enjoy this week. No matter what happens next Sunday, freaking enjoy the next 7 days, because it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I say too. Enjoy tomorrow, if you're a Ohio State fan.
Oh my gosh, if Ohio State wins tomorrow, I don't think I hope they win, but my heart can't handle this. It would have been easier if the Browns blew out the Steelers tonight. Like, by blowout, I mean like they dominated tonight, but like the game be over at halftime. Like, you could have gone to bed and been like, oh yeah, the Browns won this. But go through what I went through tonight again tomorrow night, and my heart literally can't handle it. But I hope it happens again, because I need Ohio State to win for it to be the best 27-hour stretch in Cleveland sports history besides June 19th, 2016.
Yep. Amen. It's going to be a fun one. Should be a good game.
Yeah. And somehow we end this Browns podcast by talking about Ohio State, so I'm sure I'm going to be hated on for that too. But seriously, the Browns just beat the Steelers. They just made it. Let's be honest. It was an 11-point win, but the Browns offense just made it look easy. They just put up freaking 48 points in Pittsburgh. I don't care if there's no fans in the stands. You put up 48 points in Pittsburgh and made Big Ben freaking cry. No one saw that coming. So, yeah, Browns fans, enjoy it. Enjoy the next 7 days. It is 1:20 a.m. I'm off on another tangent again. I know Joe wants to go to bed. Enjoy it. If you need to get hyped up, if you're not ready to go to bed yet, go back and watch the
beginning. Watch the beginning.
Because Craig was unbelievable. There's no other way to put it. But so yeah, enjoy this. Enjoy this week. Enjoy this win. Have a good victory Monday tomorrow. And Joe and I will be back with you next Sunday at a much earlier time. It'll be like 6:30, 7 o'clock p.m. with the 3:05 kickoff. Yeah, and we'll talk to you in 7 days, hopefully. Either way, I'm still going to be happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for joining us, guys, and go get some sleep.
See ya.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.